The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals, whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation. Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show, The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
Welcome back here, ESPN 97.5. Do you know who Gunu is?
What is it?
He's a rapper.
No, see, I was thinking of the some of the anime, like I'm trying to remember the fighting stuff. RJ, were you into any, like, I just had a curiosity where you can do the Kamehameha and all the stuff like that.
So you're talking about Goku?
Yeah, I'm thinking of Goku, but what is, I can't remember the name of the what's the name of the show?
Dragon Ball Z.
Dragon Ball Z, but there's another one too. But yes, Dragon Ball Z would be one. And I guess Jake Paul wears some type of $10,000 Dragon Ball Z card around his neck in a laminate when he walks into the ring.
Really?
It's his
flex.
Did
you see Jake Paul knockout clutch?
I did. When was he there?
I don't know. But
I know that Ryan LaShane's got pictures of his kids right there. Like doing, the Houston
clutch
sign
was down on the court,
right behind him. They were standing right behind Jake Paul. They gave Jake Paul a phone, and Jake Paul took a picture of them in the background and him right there on the floor. So no, I didn't see him knock it out. What was he doing here?
He watching basketball game.
Just want to see Jalen Green.
Yeah,
the most exciting.
Who doesn't
player,
want to see Jalen Green?
One of the top five most exciting players in basketball today.
Today, Gunu.
Jalen Green, baby. One of the top five most exciting players in the world. Woo!
Gunu is a Maryland rapper.
Okay.
He was shot to death in a parking lot in Prince George's County on March 18th. Then they embalmed him and brought him to a nightclub where he was standing there.
Why is this not saved for News of the Weird?
Well, because I don't know.
So hold up now. What happened?
They brought him to a nightclub, and they stood him up, and everybody was
like
partying.
Like Weekend at Bernie's?
Like Weekend at Bernie's. Exactly.
You have a picture of this.
Is this legal?
This is not okay.
Then why is it not okay?
A dead man who's been embalmed.
Why? I mean, you have a viewing wait, he's a rapper. You have a viewing of him at a funeral home, but it's not okay to bring him to a nightclub?
You make a fair point.
I mean,
wait a minute. He's a rapper. It's almost like, with all due respect, and you know something's coming like, oh, he's a rapper. That's true. Rules don't apply to rappers.
Which would he rather? Be sitting in a coffin?
If I'm going to be objective about this, you make a fair point.
Right.
That maybe this is a viewing of sorts.
It is a viewing.
It's unorthodox.
Hey, if you're a club owner, you're like, hey.
Come pay respects to Gunu, but also we're going to have buy two, get the third drink free.
No, we ain't giving nothing
price.
Away. We got Gunu here. We don't need
that.
Yeah,
that's true.
There's no specials when Gunu's on display.
So if you have.
For the funeral?
If you have a funeral where you have someone that's maybe local famous or whatever, do they charge cover charges to get
well,
in?
Absolutely.
Or like a two-drink minimum?
He's a rapper. I'm going to pay to see a rapper. Okay, Gunu? I know he's dead, but that's okay. All right? I didn't like his music that
much
anyway.
This is highly unusual. I've never thought about this, but
Hey.
It is like, if you say, isn't it like a viewing? You could say, I mean, he may have spent more time in the club than the church. I mean, he maybe has more friends.
I'm gonna bet heavily that he spent more time in the club than the church.
He may have more friends that would be at the club than right. go to a church for a viewing. It's not completely out of line.
I think I'm gonna have mine at Luling's.
I could see it. I'd respect it at least.
They're gonna prop me up on one of the stools, and I'll just sit there, and I'm gonna leave a bunch of cash, and I'll put it on the bar, and I'll buy drinks for everybody.
Okay.
Oh yeah. I won't do it because I'll be dead.
Yeah.
But I think that's a good way to go. Mm-hmm. I'm all in on this idea. Way to go, Gunu.
Here's what
he
you
gave
do.
Me a brilliant idea
just
about my funeral.
Just leave your credit card open. And just leave it just because the credit card company won't know. And just it's a one open charge until we max the thing all the way
to
the end.
Back. I think they'll want me to give cash. And then when it's gone, it's over. The funeral's over. When everybody drinks all their drinks. So Stephen A., listen, Ballsack is a highly credible website.
There's a place called Ballsack Sports. They figured, okay, the name alone is going to give this away.
Didn't
but what they will
me.
Do, and they've actually go to their website and go look at what they have pinned. I think they may still have it pinned. They're basically saying we are a parody site. What they
but
do
they
is they take
stories
they
out
take
that
a picture.
Fool people.
This is what they do. They take a picture, and over the graphic, they or over the picture, they put a graphic of quotes, and they falsify a quote. They'll falsify a quote from a source or from a player, and no one does any homework on it. They just immediately, because if it's on Twitter, it's got to be true. If you put quote, if you put quotes, it has to be true. Now, here's the thing. At some point, they're probably going to get taken down, or maybe they've got to put clearly that they're a satire and parody site. Because if they don't, they could get sued at some point
by
one of these players.
Well, they do put it, but then they put out tweets, and it's like, oh, my God, did you see what this guy said? I got by. Surprisingly, someone is intelligent.
You got tricked by KD saying, RJ, you'll love this. KD supposedly is quoted as saying, I lost a lot of respect for, who was it? He said, I'm losing respect for the Bulls, I think it was. Put a bunch of people like they basically assembled an all-star team.
Yeah, right.
It's not fair. I did it when I came up.
I did it
maybe
the right
that's
way.
Just me. I'm different. I came up
and
I did it the hard way.
And it was like, what?
And John read it and thought, oh my God, can you believe this guy said that? And all I could think of was that feels very oniony.
That was very Ballsack-ish. Anyway, Ballsack put this out. Remember when James Harden played against the Nets when he was in Philly? Well, it was just a couple of weeks ago. Anyway, James looked like crap. And the next day, this is what Ballsack put out. Kyrie beat James Harden one-on-one almost every day in practice, and Kyrie was barely even in basketball shape. It demoralized Harden. Things reached a breaking point when Kyrie called Harden washed after completely locking him up in one scrimmage. An assistant had to break up the two as tempers flared, and the relationship spiraled downhill from there. This is a very believable story.
I don't know. One of my kids, now that you read the whole thing, one of my kids talked about somebody being washed, about James being washed, that Kyrie locked him up and called him washed. So and my son Mason called Danny Ferry yesterday. We had to have a whole conversation about, I said something about Danny Ferry playing on Duke. And he goes, oh, Danny Ferry's that racist. I'm like, I don't think Danny Ferry's a racist. He goes, Yeah. I remember hearing about that. He's a huge racist. So I went and looked it up, and the context was completely – but that's the dangerous thing is you get called but it didn't happen like Mason saw somebody report that. This is even worse. You can say this.
This is very believable.
This goes mainstream.
Yes, this is very believable, actually. And if you don't see the name Ballsack Sports on the tweet, you're like, wow, that's something that's believable that happened. Well, here's Stephen A. Smith. I believe he's talking to Magic Johnson here. And here's Stephen A. Smith talking about this.
Especially when Kyrie looked him in the face, according to reports, and told him, you washed up. He said that to him.
Yeah.
That's part of the reason they had to fall it out in Brooklyn. Wow.
According to reports.
According to reports.
Stephen A.
Anybody like thinking, who gets got by Ballsack Sports is stupid.
Here's the difference. You drink heavily, play poker, and play golf. That's your things that you do.
Yeah. So what? You don't know what Stephen A. does.
No. Do you know how Stephen A. got started?
Drinking and playing golf?
Nope. He was a journalist. And a guy who went to school for it.
I was actually a journalist at one time in my life.
He was a journalist, actually learned about... So, yeah, that's true. But Stephen A. learned to... He was
well
a writer.
In my past.
Stephen A. was a writer.
Yeah.
And much more recently than you were. He was a writer and understands, okay, you got to get multiple sources, find your source information. He literally just called it reports, a graphic off of a place called Ballsack. Those were reports. But that's what happens is you can, you know, reports and people live. That's why I had to tell Mason. We went to the whole story, and it was people called for his ouster in his head, Danny Ferries. He was reading a scouting report that had been written by someone else verbatim, didn't agree with it at all. The entire thing was someone just literally tried to get him. And it was not, he basically was so upset by what happened with the Hawks, and the Hawks didn't take any, you know, did not punish Danny Ferry. Not only that, he took a buyout just to get out of there. He's like, you know what? I'll just take a buyout and let me move on and get out of here. He was reading a scouting report that one of the scouts had. He read it verbatim about Luol Deng is how the thing went. And I had to tell Mason, I said, you can't just call people racist.
Well, you can't.
You gotta actually do some research because my kids live in a generation where Ballsack Sports is going to be out
it
there.
It sounds like they're gonna give Danny Ferry a job. Your kids?
No, my point is that you can't. This stuff is out here fooling fooling Stephen A. Two of the sharpest minds in our business.
It didn't fool me. Here's another example. Shawty Lowe's body was taken to a strip club, his favorite strip club in Atlanta, before his body was.
Please say the name again.
Shawty Lowe.
Shawty Lowe. Shawty.
Shawty. Yeah. Shawty Lowe's body was taken. The rapper Shawty Lowe was laid to rest. His body was taken to his favorite strip club in Atlanta. I mean, to me, this makes a lot of sense.
So it wasn't even so. Gunu wasn't even the first one.
No,
this has been going on.
This is a weekend. Weekend at Bernie's is just like.
Will James Harden have a viewing at a strip club? He's got a jersey in the rafters of a strip club logo.
Well, he's
100%. He's a Hall of Famer.
He's a strip club.
Ballot Strip Club Hall of Famer.
Strip Club Hall of Famer.
Easily.
Is there who else can we name Strip Club Hall of Famer?
I don't know. I'm sure people in the streets who hang out and know and are part of, you know, the whole movement and culture inside strip clubs, they can tell us, oh, this guy's famous. I mean, Paul Pierce is trying to get first ballot after having strippers at his Instagram Live or Facebook Live where he was posting that with strippers in the background during quarantine. He was trying to get into first ballot also.
Good for him. Yeah. Good for him. 812 ESPN.
I don't know who the Hall of Famers are. That's a good... That's something we'll have to get into this summer. See if we can find... RJ, try to book somebody who knows a lot of players who goes to strip clubs.
Strip club,
summer.
Yeah. We need a strip club Hall of Fame show.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's get that
going.
We'll
wait until maybe like June, July.
In the meantime, you got to sell John Clay Wolf your car. All right. While you're going to in between the strip clubs, you need to get there and back, right? Well, all you got to do is sell your car to John Clay Wolf at GiveMeTheVIN.com. GiveMeTheVIN.com is the place to sell your vehicle. I mean, it's simple. It literally takes seconds to get a quote. You can call John Clay Wolf on the radio. You can tell him what kind of vehicle you have. Off the top of his head, dude can give you a quote. That's how crazy this is. That's how good he is at this. And then in a lot of instances, have you ever listened to his radio show? You're like, wow, he just sold that. I mean, sight unseen, all of this stuff. Yes, I'll take it for that. And the guy says, yes, I'll take it for that. Or they'll say, no, I was looking for more. And then John Clay Wolf says, well, you're crazy. You ain't getting it. And guess what happens probably? They go back to the website. They sell it to John Clay Wolf for whatever John Clay Wolf said. So you're looking for the best way to sell your vehicle. And, oh, by the way, if they can't beat CarMax, they're going to send you $100, which they never do because they always beat CarMax. All you got to do is go to GiveMeTheVIN.com. That's GiveMeTheVIN.com.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.
You're listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show, The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, welcome back here. on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776. Baseball starts. How about, I can't tell you how many people said, hey, how about Jeremy Pena? Couple homers. He's hitting well. He's fielding well. What is going to happen? Is the pressure going to get to Jeremy Pena? Listen, when you're a major league player, I know he has to follow Carlos Correa. I don't think that matters. I don't think that matters to him. I just think when you get to the big leagues and you got to face big league pitching night in, night out, every night, I mean, there's pressure. You want to stay there. You've been doing this your whole life. I'm hoping that Jeremy Pena doesn't even think about Carlos Correa and I have to live up to, or whatever the case may be. I think there's a possibility he could be a poor man's Carlos Correa. And oh, by the way, I'm looking at MVP odds. They don't think much of Carlos Correa.
Well, you don't have a team that you think is going to win.
No, probably not going to win, but I don't think you have to win. Shohei Ohtani didn't win. Shohei Ohtani, you got to be special is all you got to be.
Do you know,
in baseball, you don't have to be on the, it's not got to be the best guy on the best team. There's plenty instances of guys who are not on good teams winning MVP.
I had a friend of mine. I told them to get down on Pena's plus 800.
As rookie of the year?
AL rookie of the year.
Yeah. Oh, I think that's a great
play. Place on, I want 800. Play. I said, put $200 on.
Yeah.
200 to win 1600. I mean, he's popping it in spring. He's showing a little pop. He's made, you know. He's
going to be on a good team. He's going to be showcased.
Yeah, He's picked up some power in his bat, some pop in his bat. And like you said, yeah, he is on a good team that's probably going to win. He can steal some bases. He's supposed to be a good defense player. And he's going to be looked at more than any other rookie because of who he's replaced.
Did you see what they've done with him? He has been a line drive ground ball hitter because he swings down at the ball.
Sure, they altered their swing plane.
They actually moved his swing plane so that he's swinging up a little bit, and he's already popped a few homers.
Yeah.
Who do you think the favorite is for an Astro to win MVP?
I will say it's Yordan.
No.
Breggy?
Nope.
Oh, no, Kyle Tucker.
Kyle Tucker.
Yeah.
Kyle Tucker.
I mean, but those are all legitimate answers I gave, though.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, Yordan's the guy most likely to hit 40 home runs.
The thing is, Kyle Tucker's 25-1, and he's the favorite for the Astros. He's the Astros' favorite. Yordan is 30-1. Bregman is 40-1.
Well, it's hard to make Bregman.
I don't know how.
After last year, I mean, 40-1.
How's Altuve not even in this conversation? But okay. Shohei Ohtani is just 4-1. That's not very good odds.
No, because you know he's going to bomb away. I mean, he's going to hit home runs and get wins and strikeouts.
Trout, 5.5-1, as is Vlad Guerrero Jr.
See, that's the guy I like, Vlad Jr.
Yeah, just 5.5-1, I don't like it.
Your 100 gets you 500 for a guy that should be on a winning team that's going to, you know, that's in his prime and moving upwardly mobile from a statistical standpoint.
Much, much better odds with Wander Franco at 22-1.
Yeah.
Wander Franco is a
talent. You know?
No, yeah.
Who should have been most outstanding player yesterday?
McCormick.
I know. He didn't get it.
He wasn't the MVP?
No, Ogbaji was.
Oh.
Well, Ogbaji, I mean.
Oh, well, it's the most outstanding player of the tournament, though. And Ogbaji has been, yeah. Ogbaji has been better.
Yeah. For the Final Four, though, it was McCormick. And a lot of times it ends up being the Final Four. But I thought McCormick would win, and he did not win. That's maybe, I guess, that's why he was plus 900 going into the game.
In the National League, Soto. Soto is actually the biggest favorite of all. Soto is an unbelievable player. He's plus 380, which means if you bet $100, you only win 380. And on an MVP vote, that's not. Ronald Acuna Jr. is 9-1. Harper, who won it last year, is 9-1. Mookie Betts is probably a pretty good bet at 12-1.
Dude, Soto's 23.
He is. Look at his stats. He is stupid good.
Almost 1,000 OPS last year.
I really like Mookie Betts at 12-1. That's my favorite. That's my favorite right there. 713-780-3776. If you want to get in here, you want to talk some baseball, you're more than welcome to do that with us here on ESPN 97.5.
Yeah, it is pretty ridiculous when you look at Juan Soto. Juan Soto has played This is 4 years in the league, but he's been a full-time. Well, he was full-time in 2018. But, yeah, 22 home runs, 34, 13 last year, 29. But in non, he's had 110 and 95 in non-pandemic years. RBIs, his OPS has been 949, 1185 in pandemic year with only 47 games, and then 999 last. His career OPS in 4 years is 981. I mean, that's Lance Berkman stuff.
Well, it's just above,
you know, the guy who fell right off the Hall of Fame ballot immediately.
Run. Just above Lance Berkman stuff. But yeah, it's crazy. Apparently, Trevor Bauer's still not. He's still, there's still nothing there, and Trevor Bauer is not going to be with the Dodgers again this year.
Give him his money,
and they're give that man, pay that man,
you
his
have
money.
To give him his money.
Holy crap! You want to talk about
how much more? Okay, so this is what they're looking at right now. They're either going to have to buy him out, but Trevor Bauer, if he wants, will never ever work again for the rest of his life. He signed a 3-year, $102 million deal. He is going to get $102 million if he does nothing. If you want to buy him out, what does it cost? $80 million to buy him out? I just know that Trevor Bauer is going to make 100% of that money, so they better figure out how to trade him or just let him sit there and go Mitch Fox sleeping bag and just sit there on the sideline, collect his money, and maybe, you know, play some horse against John Wall or whatever. Because he's getting his money.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
all guaranteed.
Oh, no, no, no. That man is getting his money. There's no question
and
about
he signed,
it.
Last year was his first
too,
year, right?
He countersued, too, by the way.
Countersued who?
He countersued the female.
Okay.
Yeah. So, I don't know what he's going to get or what, but apparently he says that she's lying or whatever. So, he also sued he's suing the Athletic.
No, that's who he's suing, yeah. He's suing...
He's suing that.
He's suing Molly Knight.
Molly Knight. Molly
He's
Knight.
Suing yeah, Molly Knight. Knight.
Yeah, but I think that she's in it because she says she lied about whatever. Whatever.
Well, you got to be careful with what you report about players, and you know, same thing with Deshaun. Like, you always have to use alleged, and there's a reason certain terminologies are in place. You got to be careful about what you report on too. You can't just take. This is the problem. We joke about the ball sack sports stuff, but people who just hear something and they decide to utilize that on their public platforms, that is going to catch. You're going to catch lawsuits for stuff like that. You better make sure you know what you're talking about.
Yeah, I'm worried. I'm trying to think of stuff that I said about this. Everything I said was right.
Yeah,
about Deshaun, great guy. And you know what? I just think he said it, that's not the way he was raised. That's not how he was raised. He was raised by two aunties. He kept saying that. I don't know why he kept saying that, but. But he said he just wasn't raised that way. He always respected. He never disrespected a woman in his life. That's so. I'm going to go with that one. I'm going with that right now with Deshaun. 824 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Sal Palantonio. Dude has been around a while. He's got 30 plus years at ESPN. I would imagine. Oh
man, he has been. I got a story for when he comes on. I had a opportunity to kind of spend a little time with him. He's been there. He's known as the Eagles guy. I mean, he's there in the Philadelphia, New Jersey area. He was born in Long Island, but yeah, he's been covering the Eagles and
he's
the
all
NFL.
Philly.
He's the NFL, but he's embedded in Philly.
Mm-hmm.
So he'll know a lot about what's going on there. And listen, what Philadelphia is doing in the draft is going to be very interesting because they went from 3 picks to 2 picks. John and I covered this earlier. The Saints ended up trading a future one and their draft pick, the 18th pick, for Philly's 16th pick. And the 16th and 19th, right?
Yeah, 16th.
So Philly still has 15 and 18. Sounds good to me if I'm Philly, like, cool. We still have 15 and 18.
Instead of 15, 16, and 19.
And we have a first next year, too.
Right. And next year's first and a second in 2024 and a third this year. Holy crap. We'll talk to Sal Pal about it on the other side right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. In the meantime, I'm talking about being a champion energy. Look, if you're looking for the best way to save money electronically. Well, it's not even literally. It's electricity wise, not electronically wise. It's electricity wise. How are you saving money? You're saving by going with Champion Energy because it's going to be cheaper. It's going to be less expensive, and it's going to be better service. It's going to be all. How can you have better service and yet be less expensive? That's what Champion has championed over all of these years. I've been with them for a dozen years now. It's more. I don't know how many years I've been with them, but it's been unbelievable. I still tell people. Literally last month, somebody asked, "What did you pay for your electricity?" And I told them, and they were like, "Holy cow, that is unbelievable!" Yes, it's still unbelievable. So if you're looking for a great way to save money, all you got to do is go to champion.energy/1560.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. The Kings are on the air. This is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
Welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. John and Lance being joined right now by a guy you know. He has been in the public consciousness for decades now, working for ESPN, covering the NFL and a whole lot more. Sal Palantonio joining us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Sal, welcome to the show. How are you?
Good morning, gentlemen. I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
Well, let's dig right in, Sal. I get this trade for the Eagles. I just don't understand it for the Saints. Do you?
No, I really don't. I think the Eagles got the better end of the deal. There's no question about that. I don't think the Eagles were ever going to pick three times in the first round. Howie Roseman said as much as the owner at the owners' meetings last week in Florida, saying, you know, you don't want a redshirt players who can't crack the starting lineup, and when you're picking three times in the top 20, that's what you're going to have to do. So everybody knew that they were going to dump out of one of those picks, but now Howie Roseman has set the Eagles up for the long term. He just got that three-year extension as the general manager of the team, and now in the next 3 years, he's got five first-round picks, four second-round picks, four third-round picks, 13 picks in the first three rounds in the next 3 years, enough to totally reshape the roster with some young and some dynamic talent for a Super Bowl run.
You know, I think one of the things, Sal, that we have to remember is we saw with Philadelphia, I brought this up, Philadelphia made a preemptive trade and then another trade to get their hands on Carson Wentz several years ago. So there was an initial trade that was the first stages of another move to trade up and get quarterback. Now, the big difference here is I could argue that the Saints could be doing this for Kenny Pickett or Malik Willis, but it's unlikely that those quarterbacks are going to be rated as highly as Goff or Wentz were, the picks that went 1-2 this year. But I did want to bring that up to you because we have seen the team right there in Philadelphia make a preemptive early trade, and that was only the beginning of what was coming. So I almost wonder if the Saints have another plan in store, because it doesn't really make sense to me either. But you also have Terry McLaurin, who is a wide receiver who may be on the market. DK Metcalf may be on the market. This may be a trade for either a quarterback in a move-up or another player that's on a different roster.
Well, they certainly have to upgrade on offense. There's no question about that. And when you look at the NFC South, you know that Tom Brady, because of his age, is on the clock. But they're going to be very competitive in Tampa. Carolina, we don't know what they're doing. Atlanta, we don't know what they're doing. The Saints still have a pretty good roster up and down. They need some help at the wide receiver position. They need to figure out what they're going to do long-term at the quarterback position if it's not going to be Jameis Winston. So, yeah, they now have some ammunition to move up and get a player. But will they be competitive within that division? I don't know. It's going to be tough. I think the Bucs are just going to be so far out in front. But you got to look overall, right? And who the heir apparent in the next two or three years in the NFC? The AFC is loaded up. In the next two or three years, we don't know what's going to go on with Aaron Rodgers and Green Bay. They just got rid of Devontae Adams. Do you see how many targets Davante Adams had last year. He had almost 150 targets. That's a big hole in that Packers offense, and I don't know where they're going to fill that hole with. That's a crater-sized hole for Aaron Rodgers to figure out. Now, where am I going 150 times with the football if it's not to Davante Adams? Brady's probably gone after this year. Who knows what's going to happen with the Rams because they've traded away so many picks. Niners at the quarterback position. Seahawks at the quarterback position. So who's the heir apparent in the NFC? Could be the Eagles. Could be the Saints.
Sal Palantonio with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. What does this mean for Jalen Hurts, this trade?
Well, I think Jalen Hurts is clearly on the clock, right? Because, you know, Jalen Hurts has been given the keys to the kingdom by the head coach and the general manager, and he's got to get better. He's got to get better in terms of accuracy. You know, I'm the host of the NFL Matchup Show with Greg Cosell and Matt Bowen, and those two guys do a great job, just like some of the others that I've had on that show, Ron Jaworski, Merrill Hodge, Louis Riddick. And what we try to show with quarterback play is, all right, can they deliver the ball on time from the pocket accurately and make good decisions with the football? That's the bottom line of winning and losing in the National Football League. That's it. That's the beginning, middle, and end of the story. And so I think Jalen Hurts has to keep his eyes downfield, not pull his eyes down and look at the rush and take off too soon. Hard to teach that. Very hard to teach that. That just comes through experience and repetition and a number of starts under your belt where you get confidence. And then he's got to deliver the ball accurately from the pocket. They just have to get better in the passing game. I think overall, what they did last year was remarkable. Fire your head coach, trade your franchise quarterback, go from 4 wins to making the playoffs. That's pretty good as a rookie head coach.
Sal, I remember being in an office in Mount Laurel, New Jersey with you and Greg Cosell and Adam Kaplan, and we were getting together for the NFL Films mock draft, and every year we would do this. I was invited 2 different years in 13 and 14. Really a lot of fun and very eye-opening. And one of the things that came up was in 2014, the year with Johnny Manziel, Teddy Bridgewater, Blake Bortles, each of us would basically, we'd go around the table and somebody would make a pick for, you know, in a mock draft. We didn't have a team per se. It was whoever's next up was your pick. And when we were done, we started having discussions and arguments about Johnny Manziel. And I thought it was interesting because at that time, Sal, you had Greg Cosell and Ron Jaworski said, Ron Jaworski said, let's go up and watch some tape. I mean, we're only at NFL Films. Let's go watch some tape on Johnny Manziel together and let's see what we see. And we went up there, and I'll never forget, I was doing a morning show at 790. I was on the road actually for the draft. Like I was going to cover the draft, and Houston was all excited because we had an early pick that became Clowney. And I'll never forget going up there and watching tape and watching it with Cosell and Greg and Ron Jaworski. What Jaws started to show you, what the tape started to show you really, is that Johnny didn't throw with anticipation. Johnny didn't anticipate windows. He only threw when guys were open, and he had to scramble around to make plays. I say that because so many quarterbacks nowadays are like that, and what you're saying is 100% right about Jalen Hurts. If you can't throw with anticipation, eventually things catch up with you. They always do, and they were right about Johnny in that regard. Johnny had other issues too.
Listen, I have a tremendous respect for what we do at NFL Films. You know, I've been hosting the show now for 21 years. And Jaws was the one who handpicked me to be the host. And I thought I knew everything when I walked in the room, and I realized I knew nothing. You know, it's the old, you don't know what you don't know until you watch the tape. And you couldn't be more right, and I do remember those days. It was great having you there. Now, by the way, the lunch is free in the cafeteria at NFL Films. So come back, and we'll buy you lunch.
I'm coming too, then. That is awesome stuff. Sal Palantonio with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Hey, Sal, how's Philadelphia liking this James Harden experiment?
Oh, we're going to go NBA now. Huh? Listen, here's the deal with James. You know, I just don't know whether he has enough gas left in the tank to carry this team with Embiid. You know, they had a nice little run at the beginning. But I'm going to say the problem with Philly is their bench. They only got 17 points from their bench in that loss against Detroit. Once you go past Embiid and Harris and Harden, it's tough to come up with points. When you look at what the Celtics did when they won their last game, they had 77 points from their starters and 77 points from their bench. The Celtics are set up, I think, because they're so deep to beat the Sixers. And, you know, I mean, Giannis is just playing, I mean, just out of his mind right now. I just think the Sixers are probably the third best team in the conference right now. They'll have a hard time with Milwaukee, and they'll have a hard time with the Celtics because their bench is not that deep. And Harden, you know, doesn't look like he can carry the team through 40 minutes of a basketball game. And we know Embiid needs to get a blow here or there. So it's going to be difficult. The Sixers are going to have a tough time in the playoffs against these teams that have a deeper bench.
Well, and Philly's a tough town. I mean, nobody knows that better
than
you.
Come on, you didn't love that NBA breakdown by me? Come on.
I loved it. No.
Come on now.
I love that. No. Well, here's the deal, though. Wait till big game. We called him Elimination James here, okay? Because whenever he was in an elimination game, Sal, he disappeared.
Oh, he did special things then.
Yeah, wait.
He had memorable elimination
and
games.
And Philadelphia is not going to like that in a big game, Sal.
Well, there's still a honeymoon period right now, so we're going to let it go. We're going to let that honeymoon period go. How's my man Lovey doing down there? How's he doing? You doing all right?
Yeah, Lovey's doing great. Lovey caught what obviously was an unexpected chance because the team didn't. They realized they're going to take too much heat for trying to hire Josh McCown as head coach. And so Lovey ended up getting the opportunity. And what Lovey's done, Sal, is basically said, okay, well, this is my team. I'm no one's puppet, so y'all know. So I'm going to hire the staff I want to hire, and we're going to do things the way I want to do them. And I think Lovey is taking this opportunity, his third as a head coach. He's in Tampa and Chicago, and he's basically said, okay, this is probably my last chance to be a head coach. I'm going to do it like Frank Sinatra said, I'm going to do it my way. And he is doing it his way.
I love it. You know, and I think Lovey is a great man. The players obviously are going to love playing for him. And, you know, he's just going to shoot straight. I love David Culley, you know, but he was just handed a bad hand of cards. So, I mean, I think Lovey is going to do great. Now you got, what, 6 picks in the first round in the next 3 years? Casario, talk about a guy being on the clock. He's got to get it right with these picks. And now Jacksonville is going to compete. And Matt Ryan's in the division. And Titans are always tough. But I went back and I looked at a lot of Davis Mills' his snaps. He's a professional. He can play the position. I mean, is he going to be lights out? No. But, for crying out loud, they got to run the ball better and give him some help. There's no question about that. You can't average, 80 yards a game on the ground and be last in the league and expect a rookie quarterback to light it up. So they got to get him a little bit of help and calm everything down, and maybe they'll be all right.
Well, that's good to hear, Sal, because I was going to ask you, what is the national – is there even a national perception of the Houston Texans? We're so out of sight, out of mind. We're so insignificant, irrelevant. That's nice to hear that you actually took the time to look at our quarterback.
Well, I always liked him as a player. I mean, I did. And I thought he did a nice job last year under the circumstances. I really did. And you can see he's a good ball handler. The ball comes out of his hands quickly. He's pretty accurate with the football. You know, he's a good field general. I think he's a steady Eddie kind of guy at the quarterback position. And you can't ask for more than that. You know, it's like hut-hut and take 2 steps and hand it to a back. And, you know, let's go. Let's get in third and short instead of third and long and see what you can do.
If they had a back, that'd be great. And an offensive line, that'd be great. Or some receivers, that'd be great. But, you know, it's the Texans. So we'll see. You're right. Nick Caserio's got a lot of work to do. I don't envy that
man. Oh, yeah.
That's for sure.
Yep. Absolutely. He's got a lot of work to do. That man's definitely under the gun, for sure. He got two first-rounders in the next 3 years. He should be able to remake the roster.
Absolutely. Hey, Sal, thanks for joining us. We really appreciate it. Thanks for hanging this morning.
Yeah, anytime you want to come up to NFL Films and hang out with us, love to have you.
Free lunch? I'm coming.
No, they didn't say free lunch.
Yeah, said
free lunch?
Yeah.
You get free lunch?
Yeah. He said, you got to come back. It's free now.
I'm coming.
That's it. We'll be there.
We'll have time.
Sal Palantonio right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Thanks, Sal. We appreciate
it.
Thanks, Sal. My pleasure.
Time to talk about Chastain Ford. Those are my guys, okay? Chastain Ford is the best Ford dealer in this city, okay? I'm going to say it. I don't care what you think. I don't care. Oh, well, I'm neighbors. I don't care. Okay, your neighbor isn't as good at selling cars as Chastain Ford, because Chastain Ford is going to do everything they can for the customer. You know, one of the first things that they said they wanted out there is that you're joining the Chastain family, and you really feel like that. I really feel like I'm part of the family. When I was in there and I bought the car, and I'm going to buy another one from here. I'm going to get that F-150 Lightning. But when I was in there, it was like, we got to work this deal as much as we possibly can. It wasn't just for me. It's for everybody. That's how they do it. That's how they do business there. That's how they give 0% financing. They give no payments for 90 days. They give 60 months of interest-free payments. It's unbelievable. Now, dealerships aren't doing this, but they're doing it. When you order a car from Chastain Ford, you're getting unbelievable stuff. You're not paying MSRP. So if you're looking for that kind of deal from that kind of company, from great, great people, and the best Ford you can possibly get, it's all at Chastain Ford. Or you get there, or you can go online at ChastainFord.com. I like to go to the dealership and see the people. It's all at 610 on Homestead, not Hempstead, just 5 minutes from downtown. Go see my peeps at Chastain Ford.
Stay tuned for more John and Lance on ESPN 97.5. Conversation continues on the bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. We haven't talked about the national championship in a little while. And oh, by the way, the way too early rankings for next year, your Cougs, number two in the nation, according to ESPN. Now, they may not, when the AP comes out, they may not be number two in the nation. But right now, ESPN says Arkansas should be first and Houston should be second. What with getting Jamal Shedd, Marcus Sasser, Tremont Mark all back, Juwan Roberts, who played pretty well at times, and then the number nine in ESPN 100, Jairus Walker, into the fold. It's going to be a good basketball team. Really good basketball team. Went from Final Four to Elite Eight. They should be one of the top teams in the country. Kansas is the top team today. They came back from a 16-point first half deficit. They trailed by 15 at the half, and they went on to win. And they beat North Carolina by 3.
I want to talk a little bit more about that, because we haven't talked about it since the first segment. Mm-hmm. I mean, that was – you had a 16-point lead, but you have 15 at half.
Yeah.
All you have to do is literally not turn the ball over and get good shots and defend a little bit, you know, prevent easy baskets. All three of them they screwed up at. They turn the ball over, bad entry passes into the post. They turn it over. Love took some terrible shots. R.J. Davis was keeping them in it. R.J. Davis played very up and down. Like, he had some really good moments. He had some really bad moments. Love completely lost his mind. Shot 24 times in a
5 of 24
in a 40-minute game. Shot 24 times, five of that's a ton. That's like Allen Iverson used to squeeze off that rate. He was 5 of 24. He shot them out of it in the second half. Shot them into it the second half of the previous game. So he's a, you know, I mean, we had talked about it. He's a guy that can win a game for you or lose a game for you. But I don't want to say Love lost the game for you. But he didn't make it easy. But you also gave up so many easy baskets. I mean, Braun and McCormick a little bit in the second half. Definitely Braun started really getting baskets near the paint. But I thought the real key was Remy Martin. Remy Martin came in and out of nowhere starts nailing threes. Bad, they were ugly looking shots, and they were, well, I just say it because I think he's got an ugly shot. But Remy Martin with 15 points, I think that's what he ended up with. He had 15 points and some.
He got a little Jalen Green thing, shooting from the hip thing.
But he is, he's been called Great Value Bruno Mars, which is like the, I thought that was a hilarious nickname for him. That's the Great Value is Walmart's version of Kirkland's, you know, the Costco, what is it called? The generic. So, yeah, and he does have the little pretty boy curl right there in the front, very ready for the world if you want to go all the way back. But he did a great job of coming in, giving him some juice in the second half, and I thought he was a major, major factor in their ability. I thought the other one was Leaky Black, who sounds like a Memphis rapper, but he's not. He's actually a defender for Kansas and a very good one at that. Leaky Black did a great job on Agbaji.
For North Carolina.
Number one for North Carolina. Yeah. Did a great job on Agbaji for Kansas and shut him and was really making it hard for him to score. And it kind of took the it kind of took a lot of the confidence away from the rest of the team. Once he got once he was out of the game with his fourth foul, I thought things really opened up for Kansas. But it was also important for Kansas to run in the open court and get some easy baskets. And I thought that's where North Carolina screwed up. When in doubt, go try to get easy baskets, either slash into the basket or in transition. You can't just sit and play half court, because you saw how the game turned into Kansas really picked up their defensive intensity, and it turned into some bad shots late in the clock for North Carolina. But what a choke job for North Carolina. I mean, they got super tight, and this is 3 games removed from the choke job against Baylor, where they had a 25-point lead in the second half and lost it. And Baylor ended up taking them to overtime before losing. So this one's really going to sting for North Carolina.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Well, afterwards, Hubert Davis said he was disappointed.
I bet he was.
But
I also thought he should have been calling timeouts. I didn't think Hubert did a very good job of utilizing his timeouts to slow momentum.
Yeah.
When they had the first 6 points of the second half, I'm like, I thought for sure it was a timeout. The first three baskets, he didn't take a timeout at all. I'm like, oh, my gosh.
Yeah, but they came back and Love hit a shot. Actually, Love hit a couple of shots to stem the tide. Yeah.
Yeah.
Here's Hubert Davis talking about how proud he is of these guys.
I told the team that, you know, I can't remember a time where I feel like I'm supposed to feel disappointed, but I'm just filled with thankfulness, and I'm so proud of them. I just am. These guys, their toughness, their perseverance, their willingness to continue to fight and become the best team that they could be, I'm just so thankful for them. They gave this program, this university, they gave themselves and me everything that they had, and just really have to compliment Kansas. Congratulations to Coach Bill Self. They were more deserving tonight, and at the end of the day, they just made a couple more plays down the stretch than we did, and you have to give credit to Kansas.
Finally, Hubert, what are you going to remember most about coaching this group?
I'm going to remember a lot of things. There's a lot of things going through my mind now. I told you this whole year has been great, but it's been busy, and it's been hard to catch your breath and be able to take in the moment. Take me time to just figure out what just happened, but I know it's filled with a lot of blessings and thankfulness.
There's Hubert Davis after the game right there on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776. Let's get Jervon in here before we hit the top of the hour. We're going to have Todd Lewis talking golf on the other side. Hey, Jervon, how are you?
Hey, what's up, fellas? I had a couple of questions about the draft. I heard you guys talking about Drake London yesterday and who he comps to. Man, to me, when I look at Drake London, he kind of reminds me of Marcus Colston. I used to play for the Saints, like a big possession receiver, a good ball winner. And another guy I want to ask about, too, was Jordan Davis. He kind of reminds me of, like, the Marcus Stroud and the John Henderson back in the day. And, you know, what happened to those? Like, back in the day, every team used to have a big body, wide body guy, you know, like the Tony Siragusa, the Sam Madisons back in the day. But you don't even see those type of D linemen anymore, really, on the interior. So I just wanted to, you know, get your thoughts on those two comps. And then Aiden Hutchinson, man, why nobody ever comps him to Trey Hendrickson? Because when you look up Trey Hendrickson, yeah, just a hardworking guy, and he looks – and in a year, Trey Hendrickson got double-digit sacks. So I thought those actually, were three good comps that
– That's a good
that,
comp.
That could go.
I didn't hear – who did you comp to Marcus Colston? Was it Drake London?
Drake London, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Just really quickly, we're up against a break. That's not a bad comp because I think both are speed deficient. That's actually a pretty good comp, Marcus Colston. That's a pretty good one. I think you hit some good comps. I think Trey Hendrickson is a pretty good one, although I think from a physical standpoint against the run, Aiden Hutchinson is much better than Trey Hendrickson. Hendrickson is more of a skilled rusher. So I think there's better comps, but that's not bad. And then who was the other question? It was about men in the middle. So John Henderson was a freaky big, but he was a big, well-put-together guy. He was not sloppy or wide at all, like a wide-frame guy. He was well-proportioned. And then so was Albert Haynesworth at one time. But Haynesworth was a special, special player when he had it cranked up. But one of the reasons you don't see the same wide bodies as much anymore is because the game has gone into 11 personnel, three wide receiver, RPO, throw it around. It's just not the same need for the big wide body in the middle. You don't see teams run the ball as much. There's less running, so there's less need for guys who are definitive run stoppers who don't have any third down value.
All right. When we come back, Todd Lewis is going to join us. We'll talk Tiger Woods and the Masters and see what's going on over there in Augusta National next right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Right now, though, it's getting kinetic in here.
Here's what I do know. I know that for those of you who are upset about pain, that you're dealing with pain right now, it could be joint pain, it can be knee pain, it can be shoulder pain. Listen, because there's new treatments that are available, and I'm not talking about surgery, I'm not talking about steroids. What I'm talking about right now is a chance for you to take advantage of regenerative treatments from the medical professionals at QC Kinetics. And QC Kinetics, they are the leader in these exciting biological therapies that help restore and repair damaged tissues in your joints. This is not a gimmicky thing. This is tremendous opportunity biologically to get lasting results. If you got pain in your knees, your shoulders, your hip, your back, joint pain that isn't going away, you need to check out these new treatments with astonishing patient satisfaction reports. They can actually help your body restore and repair itself. There's no downtime, there's no drugs, and most importantly, there's no surgery. Call right now to schedule a consultation at QC Kinetics, 713-913-5285. You need to learn more about the new biological therapies that are changing the way that we think about dealing with joint pain. It's exciting stuff. Call today, set up your consultation, 713-913-5285. That's 713-913-5285. Don't wait. Call today. QC Kinetics.
This is ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. When the crowd goes wild. Real fun sports.